The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. More in the U.S. now say government is the most important problem. Terrorism is driving us to avoid crowds now. Republicans are outpacing Democrats in party fundraising. Democrats have a blind spot on culture. They're starting to talk now in the Democratic Party about getting rid of Nancy Pelosi, while Eric Holder is thinking about running for president in 2020. And Donald Trump is now talking about a big fat solar wall. We'll talk about that, what happened in Saudi Arabia, what it really means that the 100% of the budget in Illinois is now going to pay for the pensions. 100% of the budget in Illinois is going to pay for pensions. And judges are now saying you can't cut the pensions. What is Illinois going to do? They're talking now in some circles about breaking the state up. You'd actually have to cut a star off of the flag because we'd only have 49 states. That ain't going to happen. You're going to be on the hook for those pensions, and it's going to happen in state after state after state. And let's get outside of ourselves for a minute and take a moment to look at what is happening over in London. It ties together with what is coming here. We begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Last week, we were so busy here in America with an assassination attempt that we failed to see and really look at the fire that happened just outside of London. It was bad. A skyscraper going up in flames. They still were missing 100 people a couple of days after the fire. Simon Cowell, yesterday, I saw they released this yesterday. Simon Cowell went and he got the rights released for Bridge Over Troubled Water. And all of the artists in London are doing a song now, kind of a We Are the World song for the victims of the fire. But this has started another conversation in London. First, let me show you the emotion that is happening now in England over the fire.
Yeah, I don't know where to begin, so I'll start by saying I refuse to forget you. I refuse to be silenced. I refuse to neglect you. That's for every last soul up in Grenfell, even though I've never even met you. Cause that could have been my mum's house. Or that could have been my nephew. And that could have been me up there, waving my white plain tee up there, with my friends on the ground trying to see up there. I just hope that you rest and you're free up there. I can't feel your pain, but it's still where it is. Went to the block just to chill with the kids. Troubled waters come running past. I'ma be right there just to build
when
you a bridge.
When you're weary, and feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side.
Friends just can't pain in my heart. My community's moving me. Choose to gleam as we're facing the dark.
When you're down and out, when you're on the street,
when the evening falls so hard,
I will comfort you.
Yes, I will.
Here is the problem over in London. The problem is this fire they believe was caused by the cladding on the outside. It's an aluminum cladding that inside has a polyethylene core. And this core, they say, should not be used in any buildings over 600 over 18 meters. Well, the problem is they made a lot of these apartment buildings with this cladding. And there are 600 apartment skyscrapers in London itself with this siding. And so nobody knows what to do because this siding can be combustible, as we now know, because of one apartment building, and everybody will be trapped inside. So the problem is the new mayor of London, who is a strong lefty and Muslim, he is saying, shouldn't we get everybody out of these, and can't we provide housing for everybody in these 600 apartment buildings? It's a huge problem. So now the city is panicked. All of these people who are living in these apartment buildings are panicked. They have no place to go. They haven't been asked to vacate the buildings yet. But what is anybody going to do? There is no housing. Well, the Labor Department, or the Labor Party, the head of the Labor Party, which is the socialists over in London, he just said this on television. Listen to this.
There are a large number of deliberately kept vacant flats and properties all over London. It's called land banking. People with a lot of money buy a house, buy a flat, keep it empty.
But you would seize it forever, or just take it for as long as they're needed?
Compulsory.
I'm just looking at the mechanism.
Occupy it, compulsory purchase it, requisition it. There's a lot of things you can do. But can't we as a society just think, all of us? It's all very well putting our arms around people during the crisis, but homelessness is rising, the housing crisis is getting worse. And my point was quite a simple one. In an emergency, you have to bring all assets to the table in order to deal with that crisis. And that is what I think we should be doing in this case. Surely, in the wake of Grenfell Fire, we have to recognize something has gone badly, badly wrong in this country.
So what's gone badly, badly wrong is that for investment, people buy houses. And then they don't live in them. And they have these huge houses, and they're just being held. For instance, I can think of Windsor Castle, Buckingham Palace. I mean, you want to talk about people who have lots of houses and lots of money.
Your country has a queen.
Yeah.
You don't get to complain about these things.
Right. Here is the Labour Party saying, in times of a crisis, we should be able to seize property. Now, notice he didn't want to answer the question, for all time or a short period of time? Well, I think we can all agree that something has gone terribly, terribly wrong.
Never let a crisis go to waste.
Never let a crisis go to waste. Now, this brings me to Illinois and the election and what is coming next in 2020. What did the Democrats learn in Georgia the other night? What direction are they going to go? And what's on the table? What is coming next for our own society? When you have President Trump talking about making the wall on the border into a solar panel wall, quote, it will make it cheaper for Mexico to pay, and that's good, right? End quote. Where are we headed as a country? I want to show you some possible outcomes and what the news means when we come back. First, going on vacation this summer? Summertime is the best time of the year for identity thieves. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. 5 identities have been stolen since I started this commercial. It can be stolen in ways that you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. If your bank or your credit card is, oh, we're monitoring your credit. Well, that doesn't do anything. Yeah, that tells you, oh, yeah, by the way, your credit rating is going down. Okay, well, what does that mean? You don't know if somebody has taken your identity and stolen it and using it now on the dark web, or they're getting an online payday loan in your name. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. And if they detect that your information is being used by someone other than you, they'll send you an alert and they'll ask you. You'll say, no, 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 that's not me. And if there is a problem, if that's the way you answer, a U.S.-based restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. To me, this is the key. Somebody calling me up and saying, oh, by the way, your credit's destroyed, doesn't help me. Thank you. Thank you. Now what? This is what LifeLock does best. Nobody can stop all identity theft, but they're the best in the business. And then if something has happened, they help clean it up. Memberships start at $9.99 a month, plus the sales tax. LifeLock, best identity theft protection available. LifeLock.com/Beck. LifeLock.com/Beck or 1-800-LifeLock.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
Hello, America. Back in when I was at Fox, I did a segment on pensions and how pensions were working for firefighters and police and everything else. And if you remember, it was like 4 or 5 when pensions first started. It was like 4 or 5 workers would support the firefighter that left. Remember? The problem is that the pyramid has been turned upside down. Now what's happening is one person is trying to take care of 3 or 4 pensioners. And there's absolutely no way to cover it. The math doesn't work. The pyramid is upside down, and it's a pyramid scheme. So what did they do? The unions decided that they would take all of the money that was supposed to go to pensions, and they would put it into the stock market, and they had to get a return of 5 to 7% a year to be able to cover what they said, cover all of the pensions. It still didn't work. Stu, you're wise enough to on money investment. How difficult is it to get a guaranteed return of 5 to 7% a year?
There's actually no such thing as a guaranteed return right. in this particular climate of 5 to 7% per year.
I mean, right.
It's in the stock market. It's obviously never guaranteed.
Right. And in the stock market or any investment, saying I need 7% or I collapse every year, is that something that you should put together?
It's a horrific idea.
Horrific idea. There's nobody.
Now you might get that. You might get that some years.
Correct.
You might even do better than that some years.
And you will.
But so, you're not going to guarantee. It's almost a guarantee you won't get it every year.
Because the pension is upside down. The pyramid pension is upside down. Now you have one person paying for three people. It doesn't work. And the stock market has been up and down. You never know. If you're going to get 5 to 7%. But if you put your money in 2008, when the stock market was what, at about 8,000?
Yeah, it was in the 6,800 range.
Yeah, it might have been 6,800. Okay. Today, the stock market is at 21,000. So you've got a pretty good return on your money, don't you think?
Yeah.
If you put your you put your money into, you know, into the teachers union, and the teachers union is invested in stocks. That's fantastic. You went from 6,800 to 21,000. That's probably the best run of the stock market in history. We are at an all-time high of 21,000. Illinois now has 100% of every tax dollar coming in, going out to pay for the pensions, 100% of every tax dollar, which means nothing for schools, nothing for roads, nothing for infrastructure, nothing to pay the mayor, nothing but graft now for city council, nothing. 100%. And a judge has said you cannot reduce any of the pensions. The state of Illinois must pay 100% of those pensions, which is now taking 100% of every tax dollar to pay. So now they're saying we're going to break Illinois up. One suggestion is we're going to break Illinois up into five different states and give portions of the state of Illinois. So congratulations, St. Louis. You're going to get East St. Louis as well. And you just have to take care of that. Or is it West? It's East St. Louis, isn't it? Across the border? Yeah. Congratulations. How many people in Missouri want to now be responsible for East St. Louis? But congratulations, you might get that. And, you know, it'll now be part of your state. Congratulations. No, thank you. And you can pay for all the pensions and everything there. Well, that's not going to work. The states aren't going to do it because every state is in this condition. So,
except for Texas.
Except for Texas. Be careful. Now, what are they talking about? Besides, they're not going to break the state up. So besides that, what is the state of Illinois suggesting that they do? The state has a great idea. They say that the wealthy are getting rich off of the stock market. Now, let's remember that the pensions are all in the stock market. So it's not just the wealthy that are getting rich on the stock market. It's the people who have their money in 401ks, IRAs, and in pension funds. They're getting rich on the stock market, or they're at least getting partially paid because of the stock market being run up. So what is Illinois' plan? Oh, I'll show you next and show you how this works out a little like what's happening in London when we come back.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Let me just take you through this real quick, and then we're going to get to what lessons did the Democrats learn and where is the world headed. The problem in Illinois is going to hit every state, and it's going to hit every state differently. The pensions, and we're talking about the fire, the police, all state workers. The pensions are out of control and have been for a long time. And back in 2008 or 2009, as I outlined, if we don't take care of these problems now, we are going to be facing massive issues in the future, and there will be no good outcome. The outcome will be dump it into the lap of the federal government. That's what I said at the time, 2008, 2009, if you remember that episode. Well, we're here now. And Illinois, which is the state that I used as the example, is the first one to start to collapse. They have the money that they owe people in pensions is going to take 100% of the budget. And the state has said that they have to pay these pensions. So that's 100% of the budget. The pensions are invested in the stock market. And for them to pay the pensions, this is what they claimed, they needed a 5 to 7% guaranteed return on their money. Well, that's impossible. I mean, that's, you know, it's not Bernie Madoff, but it's on the road to Bernie Madoff. Nobody can promise you 5 to 7%. But you had to have 5 to 7% in pensions because they wouldn't reduce the pensions they promised everybody. And we all accepted it. And the politicians were too greedy to say these unions are lying to you. You're never going to be able to retire because this is nothing but a Ponzi scheme. All right. They're not getting enough of the return. They're not able to make the money when the stock market is at 21,000, the highest ever. And they still can't make these pensions work. It's not like we had a crash and it was unexpected. No, no, no. Highest stock market ever. And it's still not enough. What happens if we have a correction and it falls to 15,000? What happens if, let's be crazy and say another, 2008 happens and it falls down to 6,800, or another Great Depression happens? Well, what happens to then the Illinois pension fund, which is now taking 100% of the budget? Is it 200% of the budget? So, Illinois has bankruptcy. No, that's not going to work because a state can't declare bankruptcy. They could break the state apart. That's not going to happen. So, they're left with taxes. Let's take more from the poor, right? Isn't it the poor? They want to tax the rich. Now, who are they taxing? Who are they going to tax? This is an actual proposal now. They want to tax the rich, but in particular, they are mad at the people who are making so much money on the stock market. So what they're going to do in Illinois, they are now proposing a small tax of 20%.
Oh my gosh.
On transactions in the stock market.
Good golly.
What? 20% tax over a certain amount for the uber rich. Well, Stu, you're investing money in the stock market, and Illinois sets a trap up to take 20% of your money. What do?
Putting my money somewhere else? Because even if I'm successful, I lose under this proposal.
Correct. If I get a 7% return on my money and I want to move my money, I lose an additional 13%. I lose the 13%. I'm sorry. No, 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 wait. I lose Yeah, 13%. Because I've made 7, but they're taking 20. So I've lost 13% of my money, even though I gained.
So then, of course, these wealthy individuals do not invest in the stock market. And what happens to the stock market when they don't invest in it?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it doesn't stay up.
Right.
When you start taking right. millionaires and billionaires out of the stock market, that doesn't help.
Right. Or because you are taxing the people in Illinois, something else happens, too.
People move the hell out
yes.
of the state?
There we go. They move. They take their crap and they leave Illinois.
Now, that helps the pension funding, right? Because
no.
Not having those people there, no. they're so bad for the economy, those rich people.
No. So now they're gone.
Well, we've got to do something about that. We've got to make it so that they can't move.
Right. Okay. So now there's two problems. That's not going to work. It will only make things work. And then the state will say, we've got to make it so people can't move. This is going to be, there's another problem that is going on. So the state will have to move it up to the federal government because the federal government will be the only one that could be the backstop because Illinois is too big to fail. There's another problem. If I have my pension in the firefighters union or the police union, and I'm already seeing in places like Dallas that there's no way I'm going to get my pension. It's starting to collapse in a healthy city like Dallas. I'm going to do what? I'm going to ask for my cash payout. I'll take less to get my money now. So once they start to see what's really happening in Illinois and they realize this whole thing is going to collapse, all of the people who have pensions are now going to say, I'm getting my money out now. And that's what happens. What do we call that when it happens to banks?
Run on the bank.
So what do? They usually close the bank. So you can't do a run on the bank. And then they tell you, you can only take out certain amount. So now you don't have a choice anymore. The federal government will tell you, you can't take the pension money, you can't take a lump sum anymore because it'll cause a run on the pensions. So when this happens and you have the stock market, let's say the stock market crashes and the extra taxes on the rich don't work, and then people start to lose their job and lose their money in their 401k, and you don't have a pension, the federal government is going to bail you out by putting that much money, by printing that much money. What happens then again to our money? Because now we're printing millions and billions of dollars that is going to have velocity.
You've devalued the money again.
You've devalued the money. So now you have two ways to win the next election. In 2020, there's really only two ways to win the election. And which way do you think each party is going to go? When you have people who are afraid and they don't have anyone to go, we've seen this in a country, the United States of America, when we had our principles. When we had our principles, we ran to FDR and the government and said, socialism. So you have the Bernie Sanders type. Could you play the guy again out of London?
There are a large number of deliberately kept vacant flats and properties all over London. It's called land banking. People with a lot of money buy a house, buy a flat, keep it empty.
But you would seize it forever or just take it for as long as they're needed?
Compulsory.
I'm just looking at the mechanism.
Occupy it, compulsory purchase it, requisition it. There's a lot of things you can do. But can't we as a society just think, all of us? It's all very well putting our arms around people, during the crisis, but there are, homelessness is rising, the housing crisis is getting worse, and my point was quite a simple one. In an emergency, you have to bring all assets to the table in order to deal with that crisis, and that is what I think we should be doing in this case. Surely, in the wake of Grenfell Fire, we have to recognize something has gone badly, badly wrong in this
country. So let me just try this. In the wake of Illinois, in the wake of the collapse of the pension funds, in the wake of severe homelessness in America because of the stock market, and in the wake of capitalism just crashing down, I think we all have to admit that something has gone very, very wrong. For anybody who believes that Georgia, the Georgia, what was it, the 6th district or 8th district?
6th.
Georgia 6th taught the Democrats that they should go more centrist and they should get rid of people like Nancy Pelosi. I believe the Democrats are talking about getting rid of Nancy Pelosi because Nancy Pelosi has used all of her goodwill. But that doesn't mean go more centrist, because between now and let's say 2018, 2019, we are going to have collapses and pensions going. We're going to have additional problems. Going the centrist way of, look, let's return to our principles. Oh, that was cute. You're going to have two choices. I will fix it. Somebody who says, I'm going to fix this. And we put all of our support behind a strongman. Or somebody who says, we will fix this. Surely in the wake of all of these problems, we can come together. And more of an FDR style saying, we will fix it. Socialism, we are fully on the train tracks of Europe. Now, we are truly in 2020, unless something changes. And if it's not 2020, it'll be 2024, mainly because by 2024, all of the people who are college age now, that's all going to be the bulk. And they don't have any idea what capitalism is, what the Constitution is. Our cultural values are so upside down right now that they're not going to be anybody left.
You spent a lot of time over the years talking about Cloward and Piven,
yes,
which is a, you know, yes, summarized, you know, sort of radical leftist professors proposing this idea that you should load up things like welfare to collapse the system so we can finally replace it with the socialism that we really need.
Yes.
And that was a sort of a revolutionary idea. I know there's so many people in the audience and so many good people who are on pensions, who got pensions in good times.
Yes.
But, I mean, they are essentially the progressive as opposed to the revolutionary version of Cloward and Piven.
Yeah, the problem is...
It's overloaded this.
The problem is righteous indignation.
Oh, yeah, and it is righteous.
I have worked my entire life...
Under an agreement in which you were promised this.
Yeah. And it was ironclad. They promised me there's no way around. And this gets into the pendulum, which we've talked about before. The job of the people my age is supposed to be, for this to work, this pendulum to work, is we are supposed to encourage the 20-somethings to take care of the older, and the older, the ones who are promised the pensions, to say, okay, I ain't going to get that, and I'm not just going to suck it out of the system. I'm going to have to go back to work or whatever.
But can you
imagine that?
And can you imagine what will happen when they don't get what they were promised? Yeah. I'd be pissed, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely.
I would be
You've been
out
counting
of my
on
mind.
That your entire life.
Yeah.
And now, by the way, we don't have it.
In retrospect, looking back at this, though, it's
mind.
A scam. You knew. I mean, we all should have known that this was
didn't.
Not realistic.
But
the reason why people don't pay you the money that you deserve at the time is because they want to. They're writing, I'll pay you next Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yes.
They know that we don't have it right now. But you know what? Let the person 3 decades from now who has this job deal with it.
The ones that should be in trouble are the unions and the politicians.
Right.
Those are the two that
lied to all of us. And nobody's taking this out on the unions. No. Nobody.
And now this. Responsible gun owners know the United States Concealed Carry Association is the first and the largest organization dedicated to protecting responsible gun owners before, during, and after a self-defense incident. Boy, if you don't think you're going to need a gun when this starts to happen to protect you and your family and your home, you're sadly mistaken. By the way, Thomas Massie is going to be with us here in a second. Future of gun laws. He's proposing something really great. We have him on here in a second. And also Tim Schmidt from the USCCA is going to join us next hour to talk about what we need to do with our gun laws based on last week. We'll talk about that coming up next hour. Anyway, the USCCA is giving away to five people $1,776. $1,776 are going to draw on the weekend of July 4th. Five people will be able to get that check and buy the gun and ammo of their choice. Not one winner, but five. It might as well be you. You have five chances to win. Go to protectanddefend.com to enter. Protectanddefend.com. And if you're carrying a gun without protection, make sure you check out what they have to offer. It is vital. Protectanddefend.com right now.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
You know, we're just talking about the pensions, and the pensions are just ridiculous. Pat was talking about his brother, who, you know, was a principal of the school, retires. He was making 90s, making maybe 50 or 60 now for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. That's not possible for a town to do with everybody who retires. You have to pay the fair market value at the time of employment. The pension thing, it doesn't exist in the free market. It doesn't exist anywhere else. Stop it.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. We want to introduce you again to Congressman Thomas Massie from Kentucky. He is proposing a really good change to our gun laws, one that I think that we can all get behind and help him. I want you to hear why he's proposing it and what it means. We begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Now, you're going to hear things like Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. She's from D.C. She says, this bill flies in the face of the calls for unity. What Congress is talking about is how are we going to protect ourselves? And, of course, there are some that say we want to be able to carry a gun no matter where we go because we're congressmen. Thomas Massie says, I've got a better idea. And he's joining us now. Hello, Congressman. How are you?
I'm doing well, Glenn. Thanks for having me on to talk about this bill. This shooting was a real wake-up call, I think, not just for congressmen, but for all Americans.
So, first of all, how is everybody that was involved in the shooting? Do you have an update? I know that Scalise was upgraded to, I think, fair, or was it good yesterday?
Fair, and he's doing much better. He's taking visitors, in fact, but we've been encouraged not to visit him because he's such a gregarious guy. He'd probably take everybody that visited him.
Yeah.
So we have to restrain ourselves here because we want to reach out to him. But he's recovering, but it's going to be a long recovery. There's going to be rehabilitation, you know, to walk and whatnot. Right. But
so there's a couple of things now that that I've been reading about that Congress needs to look at, and one of them is what would have happened if 30 congressmen died. This is one thing that the Constitution doesn't cover. How do we get you guys, you know, replaced if you are killed? And the second thing is this idea that maybe congressmen need more protection or need to be allowed to carry a gun.
Well, let me respond to something that you mentioned about my colleague from Washington, D.C. If she's saying this flies in the face of calls for unity, the fact of the matter is this unites the Republican Party. It may divide the Democrat Party, because I can tell you there are members on the other side of the aisle that would vote for this bill if we could get it on the floor today. So I think it actually works across the aisle.
So why can't we get it? We control the House and the Senate and the White House. Why can't we get it onto the floor of the House today?
Well, you know, there's some members of Congress, and they're very pro-gun members of Congress, who want to bring up legislation only to protect congressmen. Now, listen, those are good ideas, and those members of Congress support the Second Amendment. But here's the problem with doing it just for members of Congress. Then the urgency to restore your right to self-defense goes down. And I'm seeing this with our leadership right now. The people who are in charge of whether this bill comes to the floor or not are the same people who have their own personal security details, which amounts to less than 1% of the House of Representatives. By the way, very quickly, just so we all know what we're talking about, my bill would make the District of Columbia honor your concealed carry permit from any state. And this is for anybody, not just members of Congress, who comes and visits Washington, D.C. Over three quarters of the states already offer reciprocity among the states. Washington, D.C. is an anomaly, and it's an unsafe spot because not only can members of Congress not defend themselves, members of the public can't defend themselves here.
So I know we're talking about Washington, D.C., but
yeah.
And if I can look a gift horse in the mouth,
yeah.
Why are we not talking about this for the entire country, that you got to be able to honor other states? If I have to honor somebody's marriage certificate, why don't they have to honor my concealed weapon permit?
Well, the argument that some people put up about the Capitol, you know, U.S. Congress telling states that they have to honor other states' permits, there's some people that argue the 10th Amendment, you have to balance that against the Second Amendment. But
they're not doing that with marriage license.
Yeah, exactly. And I would love to see us be able to carry in all states. But the beauty of my bill, Glenn, is that there is no conflict here. There is no legislature for Washington, D.C. There is no governor for Washington, D.C., because the founding fathers wanted to make sure that the U.S. Congress could write the laws for the city where they had to meet in just this exact instance, so that they could come here and be safe, and so that there wouldn't be arbitrary laws that kept our government from functioning. So this is constitutional. The Constitution says that we write the laws for D.C.
Correct.
So the question, like you just said, if you got a House that's Republican, a Senate that's Republican, and a President that's Republican, and you have clear jurisdiction over the District of Columbia, why does it have the worst gun control laws in the country?
So what is the response to your bill so far?
So far, among the membership here, it's been overwhelming. Yesterday, I presented my idea to the entire GOP conference, and before I could sit down, they erupted in applause. And I had members who are not members of the Freedom Caucus come up to me and say, I know I'm not very conservative, but I sure as heck support your bill. They literally said that to me. And it's important, but I think our leadership is not responding well to it. They say it's not the right time. I say this is the exact right time.
When is it going to be better? When would it be better? When 30 congressmen were killed?
It's never going to be better. This is urgent. In fact, I have 44 co-sponsors for this bill already, and I just introduced it last Thursday. and I'll probably pick up another four or five today, co-sponsors. And I'm telling you, Glenn, if this went to the floor, Democrats would vote for it. 3 years ago, I offered legislation that would defund Washington, D.C.'s gun control laws. I was able to get that to the floor under John Boehner, and Paul Ryan blocked it last summer. He said it wasn't the right time last summer to offer the legislation. But when I got it to the floor under John Boehner, 20 Democrats voted to defund Washington, D.C.'s gun control laws.
Jeez.
And there was no imperative then like there is now. This
okay.
is a wake-up
so,
call.
So, Thomas, what do we – I have to tell you, I'm so sick of hearing, call your congressman, call them, blah, 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 because they don't care. If you think Paul Ryan gives a flying crap about you and your gun rights, you know, I mean, how – again, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me my entire 53 years of life. Well, I should be locked in an institution. So case that I should lift a finger to call.
Well, I think whoever's listening to this, it's probably not your member of Congress who is the problem. It's the leadership who is preventing this bill from coming to the floor. And, I know I sound like a broken record, but I am going to say you should call the Speaker's office and say, we know you have protection for yourself. What about the other members of Congress and the rest of the public? Don't think this issue will go away. The next time it could be much worse.
All right. So if we call the Speaker's, do you have somebody look up the stupid Speaker's phone number so we can give it out? If we call the Speaker, we specifically need to ask for your bill to be introduced, don't we? Otherwise, they're going to come up with one that just allows them to carry guns, which is a horrible idea.
The reason that idea probably won't work, just to allow members of Congress, not only does it not restore your Second Amendment rights here in the capital city, just to extend it to members of Congress, it reduces the urgency of some members of Congress, not
Correct.
All members of Congress. But once they feel safe, their urgency to protect your right to protect yourself will go down, just for the Speaker.
But I will tell you, I mean, they don't seem to care. You know, they did that with health care, and a lot of the Republicans are in on that. They get all the special deals. They get everything. Screw the American people. I got it. I mean, it sounds like what they will do.
Yep. Well,
I'm sorry, Thomas. I don't mean to take the wind out of your sails because I really appreciate you. I really appreciate what you're introducing, and I want to help. And I will call the Speaker. But
it's frustrating because we've been so beaten down.
Yeah,
there's not much wind to take out of my sails. I'm here in the swamp with an aqua lung trying to swim among these creatures. I can't even get to the wind.
Does 202-225-0600 sound right for the Speaker's number?
It sounds good. You could call the switchboard here, or you could ask your member of Congress to ask the Speaker to bring this bill for a vote, because Democrats will vote for it. I'm telling you, they will vote for it. I would love to see the senator who was elected in a state that Trump won, that's up for election this cycle, telling people that he is against reciprocity in Washington, D.C., to honoring anybody in their state's concealed carry permit.
Right.
It's an indefensible position to say that the public and members of Congress can't defend themselves when the Constitution says the U.S. Congress makes all the laws for Washington, D.C.
So let's play devil's advocate. Do you have a second, Thomas? Can I take a quick break?
Please.
Okay, I'll take a quick break, and then I want to play devil's advocate here and see how you argue the other side.
Sure.
Back with a second. Give me the phone number again, Pat.
Yeah, 202. Oh, wait a second.
You got to call Speaker Ryan.
225.
225. Oh, yeah. 202-225-0600.
Okay. Call Speaker Ryan and say you want Thomas Massey's gun legislation for the D.C. area to be passed as is. Call your congressman and tell him to pressure Speaker Ryan. What a surprise. Paul Ryan's turning out to be a weasel? I can't believe it. Call that number now. One more time. Here's the number.
202-225-0600.
Okay. Back in just a second. Our sponsor this half hour is Goldline. Last hour, I told you, and if you missed it, go back to the podcast. It's at the bottom of hour number one, and you will hear what's happening in Illinois. And it is not good. 100% of the money they take in, so 100% of the tax dollars, will go now to pay for the pensions that the judges in the state say must be paid in full. So that doesn't leave any money for roads or teachers or schools or buildings or anything else. How are they going to get out of it? Well, I can guarantee you they're going to push it to the federal government. And the federal government, they'll lap it up because then they'll control. And it's going to happen in state after state after state, and it is just beginning now in Illinois. What does that mean for the dollar? That means they're going to have to print more money, and this money will have velocity because this money will go into the hands of the American people who were promised their pensions, and they can't pay for them. So they'll get the money, and they'll spend that money. Velocity. Is the problem with our, is the reason we don't have massive inflation right now. It means nobody's spending it because the people who have it are all the rich banks that have put it all in the stock market. Why is the stock market at all-time highs? It's inflation. Too many dollars chasing too few goods. The hedge against inflation has always been gold. And we're not just talking about inflation. We're talking about massive inflation and massive disruption. Look at the world today. Please call Goldline. And for as little as $2,500, you'll get 3 months of price protection, meaning you invest, you take from your IRA and your 401k, and you can, with many of them, you can transfer that to physical gold that you have. And if you invest $2,500, they'll guarantee that price of gold holds for 3 months. You won't lose anything. And if the price of gold goes down in the first 3 months, they will make it up in extra gold. Up to $25,000, if you put up $25,000 or more, you'll get one year of price protection. Stock market won't do that. Nobody will do that except Goldline. Call them now. All the way up to a $25,000 investment to a year. It starts at $2,500 and stair steps up to a year. Call them now. Get their important risk information. 1-866-GOLDLINE. That's 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Here's the phone number for the Capitol Hill, and call Republican leadership and tell them you want Thomas Massie's reciprocity bill for the District of Columbia to accept your concealed carry permit for all congressmen and the American public.
202-225-0600.
Okay, so let's take a couple of things. Thomas, first.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the leadership and why they would want to why they're not jumping on this bill.
Right, Thomas, because I don't see Paul Ryan as necessarily an anti-gun guy. I've never seen that out of him. I mean, certainly part of leadership is Steve Scalise. So this is, I mean, when you say leadership is at fault here, who are we talking about? What's going on?
Or what's the motivation?
Well, I've pitched it to members of the GOP conference here. They love it. But I got a really icy reception with Speaker Ryan and with Majority Leader McCarthy. I have to suspect part of their lack of urgency. They say, well, they're kind of for it, but maybe we should do it later, just not now. I suspect their lack of urgency could be due to the fact that they have two security officers with them at all times.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. So let's get into that a little bit. When you have security, you tend not to worry about all the other people because you start to look at everybody else carrying a gun as a threat to your security. And that's what the other side will say. We're in Washington, D.C., and we've got, you know, we're going to have a gun in the Smithsonian, a gun in the National Archives, a gun in the nation's capital. You can't do that. The American people coming in with guns.
Well, Glenn, I could see across the river from here to Virginia, which offers reciprocity to 49 other states. Okay, and there's no problem there in Virginia. The Pentagon's in Virginia. There, I mean, it's almost still part of D.C.
Yeah, but Thomas, the Pentagon, they have soldiers there.
I'm just saying that's the proximity to the Capitol. It's virtually the same area, and they have reciprocity. In fact, these congressmen were playing in Virginia at a ball field, but the reason they couldn't carry a weapon is they were coming from D.C. and going to return to D.C.
Right.
But the other thing, Glenn, 98% of mass public shootings since 1950 have been in places where citizens haven't been able to defend themselves. And if you are in a gun-free zone, which effectively all of Washington, D.C. is, you're 20 times more likely in a gun-free zone to be the victim of a mass shooting.
So I can't take a gun into a federal building in any city or a state building or a school or anything else. If I'm traveling with my gun and I go into the Smithsonian or go into the Capitol, you won't let me bring my gun into the Capitol. But you have a locker there or something for the guns? Is that what you would imagine would happen?
Well, in the Capitol, in the buildings here in the complex, people say, well, you know, do you want tourists carrying guns in there? The Capitol is literally the only example of a true gun-free zone, okay, the buildings themselves. Because they have two police officers at every entrance and a metal detector.
Correct.
So that when you are inside of one of these congressional buildings, you are in what is really almost a unicorn because it's so expensive to create. You are in a gun-free zone. Okay. Where criminals, the criminals don't have guns.
But if I don't, if every federal building says it's a gun-free zone and has a sign that says you can't bring a gun in, then my gun is locked up in the hotel room because I want to go to the museum and the, you know, go ahead.
If it were up to me, I would let you carry in the Smithsonian. That would, I mean, I don't see a problem with that.
Right. I don't either.
And in fact, I think it's, I don't want to even phrase it that way. I want you to be able to carry in the Smithsonian.
Right.
It would be safer in the Smithsonian if you could.
I know.
You would be 20 times less likely to be the victim of a mass shooting.
Thomas Massey, the congressman from Kentucky, really, truly one of the good guys. Keep up the fight. Don't get discouraged. We will call Speaker Ryan and say, introduce Thomas Massey's bill for carrying a concealed weapon in Washington, D.C. for all people. Thank you, Thomas. Back in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
So why anyone would listen to Thomas Massey? He went to some MIT college and became...
it's such a dumb college, you have to spell out the name of it every time.
Yeah.
I went to MIT. Yeah, we know. You went to MIT.
Well, the people who go there are so dumb, they don't know how to spell it, so you have to spell it out for
them. It's with two T's, dude. It's with two T's.
Yeah, they don't even spell it right.
And we know
it's amazing.
We know he's from Kentucky. They have the Louisville Sluggers are made there, so he... tried to make mitts, apparently, went to school for it, didn't. He ended up a mechanical engineer, so he's changing oil.
He's a mechanic. That's amazing.
Yeah. And you know what? We checked into his SAT scores.
35.
35.
You can get a 36.
And we all know, we all know that 65 and below is flunking, so he's double flunking.
Yeah, totally.
The guy is a moron.
Yeah, and not to mention he's taking handouts. You know what I mean? He's
taking handouts.
Well, I mean, he gets a check every single year from this MIT college that he went to based on licensing fees and royalties on a patent based on the work he did for his undergraduate thesis.
What a dope. And I mean, now we find out
moron.
He claims to be, you know, conservative,
yeah,
and
right.
he's taking handouts.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
From MIT.
Yeah. I mean, what has this guy done?
I don't like it at all. Good thing we've got an expert on. We have Tim Schmidt. Tim is, full disclosure, protectanddefend.com. He is with the USCCA. which is the United States Concealed Carry Association. That is a sponsor on this program, but that's not why I'm having Tim on. I'm having Tim on because I want to be able to dismantle all of the arguments that Congress is going to throw up on why you shouldn't carry a gun. Now is the time to get the reciprocity. Forget it. For the Washington, D.C. to honor your concealed carry. And I didn't even go to Mitt. Tim is here and has some stats. They're really the biggest organization on education, training, and especially defense of the defender. If you're trying to protect yourself and you have to discharge your firearm, you're in for 3 years of absolute hell. And these are the people that will help you. Anyway, Tim, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Glenn. I'm doing fantastic. Thanks good. For having me on the show.
I want to talk to you about what they're going to say. Congress is going to say is we can't have hicks walking around, the regular people walking around Washington, D.C. with a gun. We're going to give only Congress members a gun.
Well, certainly when I was listening to Thomas Massey talk, I felt refreshed because he actually is thinking about this the correct way. And I mean, if the presence of guns caused crime, then why would you want an armed security guard? I mean, the false premise is that just the mere presence of guns will increase the likeliness of crime, but actually the exact opposite is true. And as Massey talked about before, you know, gun-free zones, they essentially act as mass shooting magnets. And so really it comes down to, you know, do you trust the people or do you not trust the people?
No, don't. I mean, honestly, I just want to play devil's advocate with you. There's a lot of people in America who say, no, I don't trust people with guns.
Well, I'm sorry, but I mean, the United States, we're a country of trust, freedom, and responsibility, and you can't legislate any of those. And that's just the way it works.
Well, give me some reason to trust people who carry guns. I mean, look, Tim, I mean, we all know security people, they've had training. You know, and I'd prefer, honestly, that all people who carried guns were former cops, and that's it. I mean, they've had training for years on how to carry a gun. The average person, that doesn't make people safer. You know that's what they say.
Unfortunately, that's exactly what they say. And so I guess the first thing I'd talk about is like, okay, look, you know, self-defense is a natural-born right. If you don't believe in the natural-born right of self-defense, well, then you're living in the wrong country. And if you want to...
The founders, they're old, dusty people and natural-born rights. I don't even know what it means. Natural-born right, what?
Okay, well, then my next point would be that you're... If you statistically look at the amount of negligent gun discharges of concealed carry permit holders versus off-duty or on-duty police officers, it's actually lower with concealed carry permit holders. So just that stat itself.
Wait, say that again. Wow. Say that again?
So negligent discharges across all concealed carry permit holders is lower than with off-duty and on-duty police officers.
Hmm. So they accidentally fire their gun more than the concealed carry permit holders?
Yes. Yeah, if you look across all concealed carry permit holders. Now, ultimately, that stat comes down to the fact that, I mean, police officers just happen to handle their guns more often. But the concealed carry permit holders are by far the most responsible and well-trained gun carriers there are.
I read a stat from you that said when you have only 3-5% of citizens carrying guns, crime is reduced dramatically. Can you fill that out at all?
Well, sure. The best part about the concept of the responsibly armed citizen is that it doesn't take we don't all have to do it to get this powerful deterrent effect. Criminals are the only thing that they're concerned about. A lot of criminals, they don't even care about going to prison, but none of them want to die. And so if they're walking into a place, if they're walking into a room and they don't know who's armed, that will have a powerful deterrent effect. And you only have to have 3-5% of the people armed for that to take place.
People say that the gun control worked in London because crime went way down. That's not true at all, is it?
No, that's completely false. That every one of those stats that you hear about, oh, crime being reduced in Australia or London having to do with firearms, is completely made up. It's crime's actually higher. I mean, so what they do in London, they actually compare. They don't do it per capita. They actually do, you know, they compare it as a country, as if, like, you know, but there's obviously significantly less people in London.
Right. So tell me this, Tim. I do want to talk to you about this one thing. One thing that you do at the USCCA, which I never even thought of, is we all prepare to carry our gun. And, you know, the people who do have a concealed carry permit, and I think one of the reasons why we don't have as many discharges of our accidental discharges of our guns is because we know we are in so much trouble, and we prepare. And I've thought it all the way through on, you know, am I really willing to fire a gun? Yes, I am, and I got to be responsible, and I'm willing to kill somebody if I feel my life is in danger. Not my stuff, but my life or my family's, you bet. But I never thought of the aftermath. And the aftermath can be as tragic, or it may be in some cases more tragic than actually having to fire your weapon.
Yeah, well, Glenn, that's so true. And one of the things that the USCCA that we do here is, and you said it before, we talk all about preparation. We talk about avoidance, because the last thing you want to do is be in that situation where you are forced to fire your gun, and no one wants to kill anyone. We just simply want to stop the threat. But you're right, you know, if you train properly and if you are prepared, but if you are in that situation, I know that you'd do the same thing that I'd do, which is, you know, do whatever it takes to protect your family and loved ones. And you're right. I mean, once the threat is gone and you pull that trigger, now your life is going to be hell.
Yeah. Now nobody's protecting the protector. Now you're on your own, and you have about 3 years of total hell with attorneys. Do you not?
At least. And one of the things, actually, I think you said it to me once when we were having a meeting. You said, you know, Tim, it's expensive to prove your innocence nowadays. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, you're going to need up to, you know, $500,000, maybe $1 million to have the best criminal defense lawyers, the best expert witnesses, essentially to keep you out of jail.
And how many people, when you actually fire your weapon, how many people do actually go through that? What is the percentage of people that actually go through that? Is it pretty much guaranteed everybody kind of goes through that?
You know, it's so much of it, Glenn, has to do with where you live and you know, the politics of the district attorneys in your area. So, you know, if you're living in New York City or in Los Angeles or pretty much any big city in the country, there are going to be criminal charges. Yeah, you're toast.
You're toast. Okay, Tim, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Any idea of how you think the Congress is going to act because of last week's shootings?
Oh, gosh. You know, unfortunately, I don't have a ton of confidence in our senators. I hope they do the right thing. I also hope that Cornyn gets the National Reciprocity Act going. And I mean, every time something bad happens, you want to learn from it and you know, come up with better laws and make better legislation. Unfortunately, the way it works in our country, it kind of works backwards. So,
okay. Thank you so much, Tim. I appreciate it. I want you to call Pat. Give me the number again. I want you to call the Speaker's office and ask for Thomas Massey's bill to be passed. Call Cornyn, too, and say, you know, hey, I'd like this to happen all over the country. But we know from Massey that, you know, his is constitutional to be able to do this in the District of Columbia.
Speaker Ryan's office is 202-225-0600.
Okay.
Real quick, Glenn, the BCRA, the Better Care Reconciliation Act of 2017, the Senate version of the Health Care Act has just been released. So we're going through it as we speak, and we'll have some details for you coming up. Mm. Sure, it's going to be good.
You know it is.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you right off the bat, a couple things. The Long-Term State Innovation Fund dedicates $62 billion over 8 years to encourage states to assist high-cost and low-income individuals to purchase health insurance by making it more affordable. Great. We also have
another giant fund in here. This is interesting. So what are the complaints on this? Oh, people are going to drop off of health insurance. So here's how they're trying to address it. Again, these are just the initial details. I've not read the entire bill yet. Short-term stabilization fund. To help balance premium costs and promote more choice in insurance markets throughout the country, the Stabilization Fund would help address coverage and access disruption by providing $15 billion per year in 2018 and 2019, $10 billion a year in 2020 and 2021. And it would continue federal assistance through 2019 to help lower health care costs for low-income Americans in the individual market. So what that kind of reads as, and again, we've got to see the details, but it reads as, okay, we're going to get a few years of a lot of the stuff that you are already getting from Obamacare to continue and would bring that up to 2019. Now, of course, if it goes through 2019, then it comes off during the election year where Trump is trying to run for re-election. And if Democrats are going to come in there and say, obviously, these things are going away, Trump won't stop it. It's going to be a mess.
That's why this is just the beginning, Stu.
Right.
Look, this is just the beginning, and we're going to work on it and put it together so it's better for the American people.
And there is some good stuff in here. I'm just, you know, of course, okay. I'm starting with the negative because I'm awful.
Start with the good stuff at the top of the hour as we go through it together. Now this, road trip this summer? Nothing like putting the kids in the car and going on a road trip. Nothing like it. Are we there yet? I got to go potty. Are we there yet? I got to go potty. I got to go potty, followed by, are we there yet?
Meet some of the local mechanics in Arkansas to fix a broken water pump.
That's right. And then getting back in the car, are we there yet? I got to go potty. Why are we going in the first place? I didn't want to go on this trip. She's hitting me. She's hitting me. She's hitting me. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. Nothing better than a cross-country car trip with your kids. I beg that the water pump goes out until I have to actually pay the bill, because that will set you back about $500. Air conditioning. Oh, are we there yet? I'm hot. I know. Replacing the air conditioner was $1,500, and I'm taking you to a bad version of Disney because I can't afford Disney because they're ripping me off more than the mechanic is. Shut up!
Whoa.
It's going to be such a great trip. Oh, I miss those. Anyway, what you should do is get insurance so that the mechanic doesn't wreck your beautiful car trip over the summer. Save yourself now from high car repair bills. Get covered with Car Shield before something goes wrong. Jeffy has Car Shield on his car, and once the warranty is over, that's when everything goes wrong. It's almost like they plan it
that way.
800-CAR-6100, 800-CAR-6100. You're not paying the mechanic and then waiting for a check to come in. They pay the mechanic, whether it's at the dealership or your favorite mechanic or some guy you don't have any idea along the way. They pay it and take care of it directly. CarShield.com. Use the promo code Beck. You'll save 10%. Deductible may apply. 10% off if you use the promo code Beck. 800-CAR-6100 or CarShield.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury. This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
There's a couple things that I want to alert you on programming notes. First of all, today, for members of The Blaze, I am doing a call-in show, 5 o'clock live. You just call the number that you normally call for radio, 888-727-BECK. I would call a few minutes early as they're going to be taking calls to, because I want to just start right off the top with your phone call. So call a few minutes early and they'll start to screen calls probably about, I don't know, 4:45 Eastern time. Again, that all times will be Eastern. But I'd love to hear from you, and I'll take anything. What I really want to do is take the call. If you are a Blaze subscriber and you've never been able to come down for the studio audience, but you want to tell me about, I really would like to beat everybody in your company to a bloody pulp because whatever. I want to hear from you any question, any topic on anything. Keep it pithy. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. That begins at 5 p.m. today. That's Blaze subscribers only. Then next Wednesday on this program, it's just you and me and the phones all next Wednesday. Don't miss it. It'll be an open phone Wednesday. And I want to hear from you. I have some questions on that one for you. We'll talk about it coming up.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Oh, man, this is not going to be a pleasant hour because we have the GOP's health care bill we're going to start breaking down. We have the new solar panel wall. And Pat just accused me of having an irrational hatred for Brendan Fraser movies. There is no such thing as irrational hatred of Brendan Fraser movies. Everyone.
Maybe not from you.
If you've seen a Brendan Fraser movie, you have a fear of seeing another one, and you automatically... He's trying to convince me that the Brendan Fraser mummies were great.
They weren't that bad.
I didn't say great. I said they were good.
They're worth watching.
They're fun.
They're horrible,
yeah,
as they're fun. Every horrible. Other movie he's ever been in.
They're fun. Horrible. Horrible.
No.
And I have, just to piss you two off, I have a review of the Transformers movie, which I saw with my son last night. Yeah. Yeah. So bring
it
on.
I can't wait. Your movie reviews are usually very strong.
You.
Except for not.
Well, except for all examples.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I can't even. We're going to start with healthcare, and it's going downhill from there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck program.
You know, I am so tired of Washington, D.C. I have to tell you, I think I have to apologize for, you know, my behavior over the last year and a half. When I was fighting for Ted Cruz, I believed that we could fix this country because we could refer, you know, we could go back to the Constitution. I think you were ahead of me. You know that Washington, D.C. is so broken that there's no one going back to the Constitution. It's just not going to happen in today's climate. So I apologize for actually believing you were ahead of me on that. Let's look at what's happening with the health care bill now. Health care bill, and we have to...
keep in mind, this is Republicans, so they're fixing it. This is going to be... it's fixed.
Keep in mind, it's the beginning. It's just the beginning.
It's repeal and replace, and I bet you they've really taken a hard stand here.
Keep in mind, we're at 11:08 Eastern time in the morning, if you happen to listen to the show delayed. So we're just getting the bill. It's just been released. So we're kind of, Stu is looking at the whole bill. We're looking at the reads of the bill. So we can't give you our opinion quite yet on this, but we will tomorrow. They've released the GOP Senate version, the Better Care Reconciliation Act of 2017. It looks more than a little like the House bill, which kept most of Obamacare structure in place. The Senate plan actually looks closer to Obamacare that is already on the books. You don't have to be told this, but this is why I'm so sick of Washington, D.C., and I apologize to you. The average plan has risen by 22%. By the way, that was last year. The average plan rose in cost by 22%.
Bearing in mind that this was going to save everybody $2,500 per family per year.
Right.
Remember, that was the promise.
In just the last year, and early reports show large spikes are coming this year as well. The for-profit health insurance providers, you know, the people who actually think we need to be able to make money to be able to keep this thing running, have lost so much money they've either scaled back their participation or have dropped out entirely. Obamacare is collapsing now. The unlike the House plan, the Senate plan does not allow states to apply for a waiver to opt out of those rules, but it does eliminate the health insurance mandate. Here's Stu to give us, who's been trying to read this 148-page summary on exactly what it means.
It's pretty, I mean, it's interesting. Here is I like this. This give you the boil down here to start. It is exactly what critics predicted. This is from Reason. A bill that, at least in the near term, retains weakened versions of nearly all of Obamacare's core features while fixing few, if any, of the problems that Republicans say they want to fix. It is Obamacare Lite, the health care law that Republicans claim to oppose, but less of it. It represents a total failure of Republican policy imagination. Here's some of the details of it. More than the House plan, the Senate plan.
By the way, can I ask? I heard last night the Republicans are saying they wanted to keep Donald Trump away from this bill because it was so hard to get done. And they just wanted him, because they were afraid he would make a mess of this, that they wanted to keep him away from this bill.
I don't know if that's true. I know that
that's what I heard. I saw a report, and I saw the actual screen grab of that text coming from a congressman. And looking at this, how could have anyone made this worse?
He's apparently been lobbying for it. He's reportedly was lobbying Rand Paul to try to get him to vote for it. Mike Lee had also been lobbied reportedly by Ted Cruz on this to see how he could get down the road.
Does that mean Ted Cruz is for it?
No, that's not been announced. That just was one report.
I don't know who they are yet, but there are four. They need all but two Republicans to sign up, and there are four Republicans who said, from what I know so far, I'm not interested, but I'm not ruling it out.
And that's, look, I think that's, you shouldn't rule it out yet.
No, you shouldn't.
I mean, this is
an
initial
bill.
There's a lot of debate to happen. The problem is, what usually happens in these debates is the bill gets worse. So let me give you some more of the actual details of this. Again, this is the new Senate version of the quote-unquote repeal and replace bill from Obamacare. Even more than the House plan, the Senate plan retains the essential structure of Obamacare's individual market reforms. Like the House plan, the Senate plan retains Obamacare's major insurance regulations, including the requirement to cover pre-existing conditions at the federal level.
Okay, so that's the thing that Chuck Schumer said. It's a very, very sad bill. It's a very, 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 very mean bill. Because they were saying that they wanted to take out pre-existing conditions. So you understand, so your friends understand, the entire thing about insurance is, and this has been lost through SSI, Social Security Insurance, that's not insurance, that's a guarantee. Healthcare is not a guarantee. The way insurance works is you're in pools of people, and the bigger the pool, the better. But what do? We break those pools up. You cannot cross state lines. So I can't be in a pool with people all across the country. So what happens? If you're put in the pool, the company is betting that you're not going to get sick, knowing that some people will be born with cerebral palsy and somebody will have a heart attack and somebody in their pool will have cancer. But it's not a sure thing. If I said, I'm going to cover everyone who has cancer and you don't have to pay me prior to having cancer, that's a losing proposition. Cancer centers can't do that. The American Cancer Society can't do that. If you want to cover everyone with cancer, then you should demand that the American Cancer Society covers everyone with cancer. No one can afford to do that.
And this is why we said in the beginning, if this passes, it's no getting rid of it.
No.
Because once you've given this to people, it's nearly impossible to take it away.
And if you wanted to do something where people had pre-existing conditions of something then you, and you can't feel like you can't take it away. Okay, then come up with a government program, which I'm completely against, but I'm not hearing anybody say this, that is outside of the insurance system. Come up with something different for people with pre-existing catastrophic conditions that need help. Okay, I don't like that. I would never propose that. But that's the way you do it, to protect the insurance for people who have the sniffles and the cold and a broken arm. What's happening is people are not, you have insurance, and I can't go to the insurance company and say, hey, I just broke my arm. I need you to, I'm going to sign up. No, I'm sorry. You can't sign up once you've broken your arm. But that's what is happening. You don't have to have the insurance. You don't have to pay in, but you're guaranteed if you have a pre-existing condition to get it. So I've never paid a dime to an insurance company. I'm not paying in for the pool.
Why not? Just wait till you get sick and then sign up.
Right. And then I sign up, and then the insurance company has to take you and cover you.
This is why so many insurance companies have dropped out of the exchanges. They can't do it.
If this continues, insurance companies will go out of business.
Yep.
Now, they signed. I have no sympathy at all for these insurance companies.
Many of them pushed for this.
Yes.
For
Obama, and the biggest ones did.
And of course, you know, I don't know. Could it be because it benefits them in the long run? I mean, basically what they have designed is a system that it legally required people come into their store and buy their product.
Yes.
So, of course, obviously you're going down a road here, which ends likely in them, you know, getting their industry, getting money from every single citizen in the country.
But it doesn't. It doesn't work here.
So, this is a half step to something where they're going. Correct. Again, I don't think any of it works. But
Let me explain this outside of insurance. If the NFL said everybody has to listen.
Oh,
to
no,
me.
We're going. No, to no, no.
We're okay. We're okay.
Danger,
everybody
Will
has
Robinson,
to buy.
Danger.
Everybody has to buy NFL season tickets, and everybody has to buy it. But the government then said, you have to guarantee that those people who already have season tickets get season tickets, and those are free. Those don't have to worry about it. They pay regular price, you know, and it's a reduced price. But then no one else in the country is buying their season tickets because they didn't want them, and it doesn't matter to them. What the hell's going to happen to the NFL? The NFL is just having to buy all their own tickets. They're not making any money. I think they thought, well, if we get everybody in the country to pay, we're going to make tons of money. Nobody's doing it.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing it.
And I hate to step on your point here, which is a good one. And obviously the pre-existing conditions argument is something we've had for a long time. However, that argument is completely irrelevant in our society right now. Currently, Obamacare guarantees pre-existing conditions. The House bill guarantees pre-existing conditions. The Senate bill guarantees pre-existing conditions. And the president has says he must have pre-existing conditions in any bill that he would support. Oh. So it is there is no one on the other side outside of nine people in this audience who actually think insurance is insurance anymore.
Right. And that's the problem. If you want to take pre-existing conditions and come up with something that is not insurance, then that's good. Or if you say, all right, we're going to do pre-existing conditions. We as the United States of America believe that no one should have to worry about a catastrophic failure. And you know what? There's a lot to be said for that. That no one in this country should ever have to lose their house because they have cancer or their kid has cancer and they've lost everything. Okay, so we as a society step in and say, we're going to take care of you. I don't think that's a wise idea, but it's charitable and it's nice and it makes us feel good. And it is a nice thing to do. Okay, great. But that's not insurance. So let's solve that problem. And then how can we make the insurance that everybody needs really cheap? They're not doing that. They're not making insurance more cheaply. They're making it much more expensive. This is only going to make things worse and collapse the entire system.
Quickly on this point, because I mean, this is point one of this, and this is really not even one that's being argued about at this point.
Yeah.
It also retains another thing that is in Obamacare, in the House plan, now in the Senate plan, and also something the president wants, which is you keep your kids on your insurance until they're 26 years old. So that the only difference here.
How is it my kid is an adult to the government and to the doctors when they're eight, when they could get birth control the minute they start to menstruate and have an abortion, and they're an adult and they have nothing. I have nothing to say about that, but they're a kid that I have to continue to pay for until they're 26.
I will add to this, the one difference between the House and the Senate plan is some of these restrictions under the House plan gave the option for states to opt out, to get a waiver and opt out of some of these restrictions, not all, but some.
The House plan did.
The House plan did.
Which was awful.
It was already bad. The Senate bill does not give states the option to get a waiver and drop out of some of the more onerous
restrictions. Can we see if we can get Mike Lee on? See if we can get Mike Lee on. I'd love to hear what he has to say about this bill.
I mean, it just, you know, it's just coming out, so he may not want to.
But
I mean,
if he knows about it, maybe we can get him on tomorrow. But all right, let me take a quick break. ZipRecruiter. Boy, are you going to need a job. And there's going to be lots of people looking for jobs. How do you find the right person to work for your company? The person that you hire is so important, and you just can't hire people and go wrong. It just sets you back. ZipRecruiter, it finds the right person. ZipRecruiter, now you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with one click. Over 80% of the jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. So no matter where you are, no matter what the job is, you need a qualified candidate. 80% of the people who post with ZipRecruiter get that qualified candidate the next morning. Their technology is the secret, and it matches the right people to your job. So you want to hire the right person fast and the right person the first time? Find out why ZipRecruiter's been used by all businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can post with ZipRecruiter.com for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Free.
You're listening.
You're listening.
To the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK.
Yeah, ready. So we're looking, so Stu says, Glenn, shut up. You've brought up two things that are not in the bill and nobody's even arguing for. And they're, okay, so let me ask you this. State lines, insurance across state lines, right? That one's in.
I mean, that's a no-brainer. That's what everybody thought.
Yeah,
could make this so right. much better.
Yeah,
and
you're seeing that, right? I mean, Reason and Politico,
so
and everybody
that's
else is
like point one.
That is not point one. No,
it's point two.
It's
at least mentioned in all the articles that you've read. I know you haven't read the full bill
right.
yet, but no. It's
no.
Where is it then? Okay, it's not the.
It's not in any articles about it.
No. it's interesting in that.
It's hard to believe they can't even do that, isn't it?
Well, I just don't know if it's in
no.
here.
Hang on. May I have an intervention? It's time for an intervention.
I agree with that. It might not be the same intervention you're talking about, but yes,
You're referring to like having one with me.
No.
Okay.
Why would I?
I think it's time for an intervention on Pat. He's like, it's crazy that they couldn't even get that done. Stop it. Let go of that silly belief that these people will do the right thing. Stop it, Pat. It's harmful to you, your family, your relationships, our relationship, the country. Give up on that belief.
Give up all hope in our government.
All hope.
Okay. I mean, people are already giving up hope on the feed. If healthcare costs continue to rise, they're going to have to start selling face cream. So
that's true.
They're worried.
Joanna Gaines is already doing it. She's doing it.
No, she's not.
Right.
I actually got an email from someone at the very beginning of the sort of Trump administration, from a person who was a big Trump skeptic, did not like Trump at all.
Yeah.
And they said, oh my gosh, when these first reports are coming out, oh my gosh, they're going to repeal Obamacare. I can't believe this. I did not think this would happen and would never. Yeah, this is where we are now. Just a few months later, I mean, all of that, even the hope, I think, from almost everyone on the conservative side
looking at these bills is dead. Now, you hope maybe you get the individual mandate and a few of the taxes gone and you say, hey, celebrate. We backed off a 10 on the horrible scale to a 9.5. That's all we're hoping for. It's the only thing we're even wishing for out of this bill anymore. And that is really where we are. If what you're hope for is a small government and a free market and a conservative platform, you're not even hoping anymore for something good. You're hoping to take a 10 and reverse it a little bit to an 8 or a 9.
I'm hoping that they don't torture me before they shoot me in the head.
Well, so you have even less hope. Okay. All right.
That's kind of where we are. Just, will you just kill me quickly? Or
no.
Do you have to torture me too? Back in just a second.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let's go to the healthcare bill. We're going to give you the full rundown of this tomorrow, what it means, and then we'll hopefully talk to a couple of Senate leaders on it tomorrow. This just came out about an hour ago, so we haven't read the entire bill yet. We're trying to scan it as we go in between the breaks. Stu has a couple of updates, and then we're going to move on to something else that is happening, the border wall.
Okay, so we know one of the big complaints about the House bill was it's going to create all this instability. Some people are going to drop off insurance, blah, 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 blah. The way the Senate bill attempts to manage that is by buying off health insurance companies with payments Republicans previously argued were illegal and should be stopped. They're called CSR payments, cost sharing reduction payments. They're subsidies due to insurers through 2019. It authorizes those and back payments of those subsidies that insurers have not received. On this front, it is actually an expansion of Obamacare. Now,
So we're paying our tax dollars and we're giving subsidies to insurance programs? Right,
yeah, to insurance companies to make it essentially worth their while to reduce their cost.
How about my freaking 21% increase that I paid last year as being their incentive?
Yeah. Now, to give Trump some credit here, these are the payments that he, in particular, was talking about or at least been floated in the media that Trump was talking about withholding these payments to the insurance companies, which basically would make the entire individual market fall apart. So this is the Senate saying, no, we're not only going to do them, we're going to give them back payments, which is actually going to give them more money and actually expand Obamacare slightly on that mark.
We know that the insurance company lobby got their shit in.
Yeah, they got their stuff in. Yeah.
I did say CH.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I assume you didn't just swear in the middle.
Yeah, I just saw kind of everybody look at each other, and I'm like, no, I just want to make sure.
I was trying to think, what was that word exactly?
Yeah. Got their stuff. Yeah. So this is probably, if you want the clearest example as to what the GOP Senate healthcare bill does, if you just want to understand it with one little function, it's this. The House version of the repeal provided free money to people for healthcare, as does Obamacare. They did it based on age. The Senate bill does it based on income, which is the exact same way Obamacare does it. Here is the difference, however. Again, this is what I'm talking about when the difference of these plans. Obamacare gave free money to people up to $98,000 a year in salary. Okay?
All right.
That's Obamacare, $98,000 a year.
You get free money up to $98,000.
Yes.
Okay.
The Senate bill will give free money to people for healthcare up to $86,000 a year.
Wait, what?
So that's the difference. It is, instead of $98,000, they're making it $86,000.
So wait, that's more money that
Why do I use numbers? Why do I even use them? Why even say them out loud?
Wait.
Free, if you earn up to $86,000 a year under the GOP plan, you'll get free money.
Okay.
Under Obamacare, it was $98,000. Okay. So it is a slight, tiny, teeny rollback of what this was. And if you want to look at it easily, it's, if what we had in 2008 was a zero and Obamacare was a 10 as far as where these plans are.
This is a 9 and
this
a
is,
half.
Let's say the House plan was an 8 and this is a 9, right? So,
which is exactly what we said it would be.
Yes.
We said it would go to the Senate and it would get worse. And everybody said, no, it's going to get better.
Just the beginning. Uh-huh. We're working through
this. All right.
So there you go. I mean, if you want a basic understanding, that's where
but
we'll
does,
get into
it
more
does. It does two good things that we know of, right? It removes the individual mandate.
Which to me, and I've said this before many times, I believe is the most offensive part of Obamacare.
Well, it is.
The individual mandate.
Well, the individual mandate.
Unconstitutional.
I could maintain that regardless of what the Supreme Court says.
But the individual mandate is the only thing that makes this work. Supposedly.
I don't know. I mean, you could argue that. I know one person who argued the opposite of that was Barack Obama in the campaign. He said you didn't need an individual mandate. If you wanted an individual mandate, you could just have
people buy homes and
there would be no homelessness.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, he used to mock that idea. Uh-huh. But you're right. I mean, there is a function of it to force people and gather all their money through tax penalties to pay for this nonsense.
Is the Cadillac tax gone?
The Cadillac tax, I have not read that on this particular bill. The House bill pushed it out. But did not remove
I mean, that's
it.
Craziness.
The
How
other one
can
is.
Can you continue? Look, well, as a businessman, I cannot run my business and plan for the future when I don't know what the government is going to cost me next year or the year after or the year after that. I have to have a stable environment to be able to run my business.
And so much of this is just bookkeeping fakery, right?
No,
so
what you know what it is? It's not only bookkeeping figuring, it's also when is the next election that we need to be the savior of the world?
Exactly. For example, the Medicaid, what they're doing with Medicaid is they're slowly rolling back the Medicaid. And they're cutting it deeply, deep cuts to this Medicaid program. And that's one of the things that, you know, the Democrats are going to say about it. However, it pushes those cuts so far out in the future, but still within the 10-year frame. The 10-year frame is important because that's how they score these CBO bills. So when they're trying, they have to do this to get reconciliation to work. So what they're doing is they're telling you, you know what? We're going to cut Medicaid by 900%. Right? We promise in 2026. We all know that is not going to occur. When it comes down to 2026, they're going to just change it and start spending that money again. So it is not even real. The savings here is not even real. They're obviously going to change that later on, as they've done many times before on both sides of the aisle.
All right. Well, let's at least go to something stable that we can trust. We know the wall is going to be built.
Yeah, thank you.
The president was talking about it. He guaranteed when he went to Iowa this week that he guaranteed that Obamacare will be repealed, fully repealed and replaced. He guaranteed that. He also said he has a new idea on the wall.
And what an idea it is. This is an upgrade.
This. We're already spending a lot of money on design, but I'll give you an idea that nobody has heard about yet. And I'm not sure, but I'm a builder. That's what I love to do. That's probably what I do best. I'm a builder.
Should do that.
And we're thinking of something that's unique. We're talking about the southern border. Lots of sun, lots of heat. We're thinking about building the wall as a solar wall so it creates energy and pays for itself.
It is.
The solar panel.
Okay. Solar panel wall.
And this way, Mexico will have to pay much less money. And that's good, right? Is that good?
No, not really. I mean,
you don't even know what to say.
So we pay for the solar panels on the wall. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, so Mexico is going to pay for the wall.
Okay, the solar panels are going to be expensive. I don't know if anybody's aware of that.
No, hang on just a second.
All
this
right.
is how this works. This is the only way for that sentence to even work.
Uh-huh.
Mexico's going to pay a lot less for the wall. Okay. Well, how are they going to pay a lot less for the wall? Well, the wall's going to be very expensive. Right.
Much more expensive, obviously, if you're putting solar panels over.
Let's talk about
border.
The solar panels in a minute, please. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So that's going to be in a very expensive wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. But what we're going to do is we're going to put solar panels. We'll put solar panels on that wall.
Mm-hmm.
So now we'll get the energy savings. So the wall technically will cost us less because...
Why?
Well, because it's not just a wall. We're also going to build a huge energy farm. And so if we wanted to build that energy farm as well, we're just going to build this energy farm there on the wall. So we're going to pay for a lot of that. And we're going to get all that money back because the energy is going to be so cheap.
Eventually.
But solar energy isn't cheap.
No. It's really cheap. Because once we build it, then you have all that energy rolling in.
Yeah, but there's a cost to building it.
Yeah, yeah, but once we build it,
well, it's gonna, and you'll and so experience that's why those savings in a number of decades.
Right, and so maybe, that's why you don't have to worry. You don't have to charge Mexico so much because it's not just a wall. We're partnering with them. We're going to build these solar panels, and then they can build a little bit of the wall, and then we're going to build these solar panels, and they'll build a little bit of the wall. And so it's more of a North American partnership here.
But it's also a bizarre understanding for a Republican of what solar panels do, because they don't save you money. That is not. I don't know if this is not something that actually happens. Okay, when you spend.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have solar energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have solar energy.
Mm-hmm.
So far, my solar energy has cost me, I'm going to buy new batteries this next year, which are another $46,000. But without the $46,000 for the batteries, what? Without the $46,000 for the batteries, I have spent only about $200,000 on my energy program with solar panels.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but so how much of that energy is
generated? $84 you're saving every month in electric bills, that's going to add up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and in 190 years, it will have paid for itself.
And I go to that house and I use it probably about 6 months a year. Or, I'm sorry, 6 weeks a year maximum. And out of those 6 weeks every year, that's about probably five trips a year up there. Only about 4.5 to 4.8 times do I have to have somebody come up and work on the solar panels or the generator to make sure everything's okay.
Oh, really? So, oh, that's great.
So there is, I won't hear you badmouth solar energy. We are saving a buttload of money and we're helping the environment.
And did I miss the part during the campaign where he said, we're going to make sure that it's easy for Mexico to pay for this wall. We're going to make it less expensive. So then they'll agree.
Well, no, we want to be good friends. Good, I mean, right? I think that's right. I mean, we do want to be good friends with Mexico.
We do. We do.
We do. And so making it cheaper by having us build something that just for my house costs over 200 grand. It's going to be so great when we put those solar panels all across, you know, a couple of thousand miles.
And he said, didn't he say, too, the taller the wall, the better, because then we can get more solar panels on it? Which, again, like, I think you could argue that he's just trolling the left, right? I guess what are they going to be opposed to solar panels on this wall?
You could argue
this is not a real proposal, I guess, is the best argument against
it. He sounds like he was serious.
But he sounds like he was serious, but I don't know what's real and not. Did you hear? Yeah. And it's being presented as a real proposal, but it's already a law. He said, I'm proposing that you can't have welfare if you come into the United States. You can't take any welfare benefits for 5 years. Well, that's already a law.
Mm-hmm.
That's a law already.
Mm-hmm.
So you could propose it all you want, but I'd have to go into a time machine to get Congress to
pass it.
Pass it,
yeah.
Because they've already
done it.
Done it.
Yeah.
Unless you want to repeal and replace that law, because it's working with Obamacare, we would just replace it with exactly the same thing.
Uh-huh. On the Wonderful World of Stew on the Blaze this Friday, my monologue is actually about the Tesla solar roof, which goes into the economics. And these are numbers from Tesla. So these are the people trying to sell you a solar roof. Even they say you're talking about, for an average home, $50,000 to $70,000 of upfront money to put the solar panels in.
Can I tell you something? That's cheap.
Oh, yeah. No, this is for a small house.
Yeah, that's
again,
cheap.
This is not the average middle class home. The person who would be living in a house like this would not have $70,000 to kick around to throw at their roof.
Yes.
If you do this, you get the tax credits and everything else, you might break even in 30 years based on their flowery beliefs.
And in 30 years, all of the stuff that you spent $70,000 is going to be so unbelievably obsolete.
Completely obsolete.
I mean, and in addition to that,
the real problem is not the solar panel. I mean, that is the problem. They're still too big. Still, they're not as efficient as they need to be. But the other problem is batteries. The batteries.
Yeah, you have to spend money on that too.
And keeping the batteries charged to the right level, make sure they never go down so they don't crash. I mean, it is It is not easy, nor is it cheap.
Yeah.
And, it doesn't work yet.
And again, to get to the numbers where it might come close to paying off, you have to get a giant tax credit from the government, which, by the way, you wouldn't get if you're building a wall and you are the government. There wouldn't be a tax credit there.
No, they can get the they'll qualify for the tax
credit. Yeah, I bet they will. And the other part is, you know, when you're building a house, you're adding on property value, so your property taxes are going up. Not to mention, you took $70,000 out of an investment or a bank account and put it into a on your roof. So now that's not you're not gathering any new money.
You are in this one way. If you live around people who say, I want to be off the grid, I do not want to be.
Yeah.
I mean,
if that's your goal, then that's okay.
That's your goal, then
that's reasonable.
And you have the money. But
financially, that's not a
There's no financial win in this yet. There's no financial win.
And Elon Musk has all but admitted that, by the way. Yeah. I mean, if you're an activist and you love solar energy or you want to be off the grid because you might be a believer in something else, like there are reasons to entertain this. However, you know, even with Elon Musk pouring a lot of his own money and a lot of government money into it, they still can't make the economics work.
No, it's like buying a tractor in 1903. Okay, that might work, but you're going to keep the horses there because your tractor is going to break down a lot. It's not time yet. It's a novelty, and it might work for some of the time, and you know you can get it stable enough for some of it, but not for the load of your house, usually, and make it economical. Trust me, I know. All right, now this. The video of neighbors in New Mexico taking down a burglar is going viral. It illustrates an important point. Most burglaries happen during the day when you're at work. What happened was the alarm went off in the house, and they called the neighbors and said, "Hey, something's going on in my house. Can you just check it out before police come?" Well, that's what happened. The neighbors, you know, you're in New Mexico. They got guns. They're taking down the burglar. Simply Safe is a completely wireless system that is easy to install. You can build the arsenal for all-day protection in under an hour. It's $14.99 for monitoring. SimplySafeBeck.com. Get 10% discount right now. SimplySafeBeck.com. That's SimplySafeBeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Is the Glenn Beck Program.
We're just talking about the insanity of solar power. At this point, once we really get
if
a
it
battery...
Well, it'd be great.
Oh, it'll be great. And it will work well.
Eventually.
It will.
Yeah.
And you know,
we've been saying that for a long time.
For
though.
Supplemental power, it is really, really good. For really powering your house...
Can't do it yet.
Not yet. Not yet. I mean, it's really tough and expensive. It can be done, but it's still early on that.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.